From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 17th day of April, 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Ben Pruce will join us from the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility to take a look at the cash grain market in his part of the world, and we'll discuss the agricultural weather forecast, too. That with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, Prairie Research Institute. And along the way, I'll ask for your support of our radio station and the ag programming that comes to you from Illinois Public Media by dialing in at 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org. It's just the right thing to do. Stay with us for this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Looking at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago for the Friday afternoon, in the corn pit, the nearby May contract at $3.79¾ finished 3½ cents higher. July at $3.86¾, up 3½, and September at $3.94, up 3¼. December corn, $4.03¼, up 3, and the March contract at $4.13, up 2½. May beans today, $9.68¾, up 2¾. July at $9.71½, 2½ higher. The August at $9.68, up a penny. September at $9.57¾ unchanged. And November beans, $9.52¾ unchanged. January contract, $9.59 unchanged as well. Bean meal at $3.15, up $2.60. And the bean oil at $31.52, down 24 cents. Soft red winter wheat finished the July at $4.89¼. That's a penny and a half lower. The hard red July at $5.14¾, up 0.75 cents. CME Group live cattle futures finished the April at $157.80, down the $3 limit. June at $149, also down the limit. And the feeder cattle at $213, were down $2.80 for the day. The May contract there at $208.52½, down $4.47½ for 100 pounds. Lean hogs at $70.52½, 50 cents lower. Hey, have you dialed in yet? I hope so, but if not, now's the time. 217-244-9455. Don't dally. Do it right now. Get started before we talk to Mike Zuzulo in just a couple of minutes. He, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. This is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day, $55.79, down 92 cents. The RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $1.92¾. That's 0.5 cents lower for the day. And the ethanol futures at $1.61. They're a penny and 0.9 cents higher. Natural gas at $2.63½, down 4¾. Diesel fuel at $1.88¾, 2½ cents lower. And gold futures finished $4.90 higher, $1,220.70, or rather $1,202.70. U.S. dollar at 97.523. That's up 0.108 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area. As it comes from the National Weather Service, a sunny sky today, a high of 77 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy and a low of 55. South winds at 5 miles an hour. Tomorrow, sunny and 77. The weather is beautiful to be on the tractor and planting. Light and variable winds out of the east-northeast at 6 to 11. Saturday night, just a chance of showers. Then showers likely as they make our way into the 1 a.m. or after 1 a.m. hour, mostly cloudy with a low of 56 on Saturday evening. Sunday, showers in the Urbana-Champaign area are likely, possibly a thunderstorm. It'll be cloudy and 69 degrees. Chance of precipitation for Sunday set at 70% by the National Weather Service. Sunday night, showers possible, a thunderstorm, a low of 52, 60% chance of rainfall. And then sunny skies on Monday, 62, sunny on Tuesday and 59, and Wednesday, sunny skies and 59 again, and Thursday, mostly sunny and 58. More on the weather at the bottom of the half hour. Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You know, all week long I've been asking you to deliver just a little bit of a good to us in the way of financial support at 217-244-9455. Here's kind of the deal. We know things are really rough. Actually, I know things are really rough as you look out forward for the farm and you're thinking, I've been living very well the last 4, 5, 6 years. This year may be the turning point. Honestly, there will be some that don't make any money at all this year. There will be some that make a little. On the good side, the supply and demand numbers and a table that was just released by Scott Irwin and Daryl Good on this campus shows next year's corn at $4.25 national average price for the whole year. That's probably better than you've heard. Remember, $3.70 for this year on the national average price. So maybe things aren't quite as tight as you would think, and hopefully you can help us out a little bit. But here's what I really want to happen. I don't care about the money so much. I tell Dave this often. It's about the service and not the money. And today we're going to make it about the service. So we want you to call in support of the service. I do need a little bit of money, $5 or $10, doesn't matter. I need 60 phone calls in the next 20 minutes. That means you need to dial now, 217-244-9455. Just start dialing. I will give you this number over and over and over, at least through the process where we're talking to Mike Zuzulo. Let's bring him online. He, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. Mike, thanks for being with us. Thanks for being with us each and every Friday in the morning and the afternoon both.
Todd, thank you for your unmatched credibility and your high standard of reporting and news that you do in agriculture, and I sure hope people call in as you have asked them to do.
I'm betting on it. I'm really betting on it. 217-244-9455. What happened in the market today from your point of view, Mike?
A muted response in the grain trade once again on Corn Belt weather. Probably pushed some weak shorts out of the market. Potential Brazil truck strike resuming next week. Some have been reported as saying that Brazil's ports have about 4 weeks of supplies, and so if they start a truck strike again on the magnitude of what we saw a few weeks ago, the clock starts ticking again for exportable supplies. Those two things, I think, probably help push the weak shorts out, help the corn and the beans close higher on the week. But the wheat performance, the grease fears associated with the currency markets, the stock market meltdown in Asia, which has ours down at least 2% on the day so far today, those fears probably kept prospective longs out of the game until more is known next week about weather, more is known today about the CFTC data, and more is known Monday about crop progress and planting.
Okay, 217-244-9455, dial it now. Please do that. That 425 number that I gave out from Scott Irwin and Daryl Good for the national average cash price for the coming year, that's their supply and demand figure. And it fits, I think, I don't know how on the upside whether you really get to 425, but it fits that 2010 pattern that you've been talking about since January for corn, at least. But we have to go down before we go back up, right?
That's what 2010 says, and that number really resonates with me because my number is 410, and I could bring that number up for U.S. corn average price very easily if the wheat would replace the soybeans. And this is something that's a real big key as we go forward, is we've had the beans supporting us the last 10 years on lower prices. They've been kind of the bottom of the barrel that has brought the low end first. We really can't rely upon that at this point until we know what the August weather is going to be here in the States, because the global supplies are so big and we're so much larger than we were a year ago. So we really need the wheat market to come around, and that's something that just I've been jumping up and down about and bantering, and I know everybody's heard it and heard it and heard it, but it's still very worthwhile, especially on a week where you've seen another 30-cent price erosion on what looks to be pretty friendly price-supportive weather for the spring wheat and for the hard red winter wheat as well.
And so you're looking for a bottom to be made in the wheat sooner rather than later.
We need that to be able to take that average price up in the corn.
Okay. How about for the soybeans? I know you've talked about it, and most people are thinking, boy, 370 as a carryout or 385 as a carryout. We're in that 400 million bushel range. That's a big one. We've got the South American crop. They've got kind of the same size carryout, I think. And we'll have a decent crop probably, and things begin to move pretty quickly and carryouts grow. It's not as pretty a picture all. And I don't know whether you'd paint either of them as a pretty picture. 217-244-9455, by the way, if you're trying to dial. So what do you think about the beans?
Well, the acres are still so much in flux. You know, it could have been very well that we had the biggest corn acres and the smallest bean acres and the Delta weather, the Eastern Corn Belt. It's amazing to me, Todd, how different the Eastern Corn Belt is. Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, on down south into the Mississippi River Valley versus central Illinois and northern Illinois. There's guys I've talked to this week that are finishing up on corn in several different parts of Illinois this week, and it is completely the opposite as you get over into Ohio and Kentucky and Tennessee. They're talking about getting their March field work done at this stage of the game and not getting any farther behind than that.
So these are places that really are being kind of strongholds. I mean, you get into Indiana, parts of Ohio, these are places that really do produce quite a bit of beans.
Yes, and so if you don't take prevent planting, are you going to really mess with Milo? Are you going to really mess with some kind of cover crop that you don't know much about, or will you just go back to planting beans? And that's where that 84.6 that USDA gave us could, I think, go up 600,000 or 700,000 acres, and that would even put more pressure on new crop bean ending stocks.
Oh, thanks. I was looking for something supportive as we went. 217-244-9455, right? Oh, my gosh. So just looking forward, though, maybe this year, is it going to be as tough, do you think, as many have laid it out in January or the way we thought about it in December?
I would be surprised if in October we felt as negative as we do right now because currencies and because of what history has shown us. You brought up 2010. I would say if you don't have that 1999-2000 economic meltdown, financial meltdown, that keeps the dollar as the safe haven in the world, you could see a much better commodity investor sentiment as we get to the fall of this year.
Any final word before I let you go?
I would say their livestock markets need to be watched. Cattle tried to get back up.
We did not get that support re-established,
and so I'm getting on red alert here to get some hedges in place for both fats and feeders.
Take me through that. I meant to follow up on that. I saw that drop in the cattle market today, and it's not been pretty for a while.
No, we had a cash break last week, and the trade followed it, but the market sentiment, the box beef prices, suggested we did not have anything more than maybe an anomaly going on, Todd. Well, we saw today Kansas fats drop to 160 to 161, closer to the April fat cattle price, $3 below what the trade wanted to see, I think. And it really opens up the door that maybe the cash price is suggesting a top, and the futures guys are going to have to realize that and price that in here in the near term. So this is one of those markets where the charts and the fundamentals look weak enough. It's worth getting some hedges in place.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, good luck on the fund drive, sir.
Thank you. That is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, joins us here on the closing market report for this Friday afternoon. I hope you will join us as well at 217-244-9455. One note about that supply and demand table that was produced by the ag economist Daryl Good, Scott Irwin at the U of I. If you want to get a look at it, I have not posted it into our Will Ag website. I'll probably get around to that sometime over the weekend, but it's actually up on the Farm Doc Daily website, so go there, farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. If you are a farmer and you have not yet learned how to read a supply and demand table that comes from USDA or is put together by brokers or other folks, it's one item you ought to do. I know Dave and I both know how to read these things. It's important to your business, so go take a look at it. Make sure you understand what those numbers mean, but the bottom line is they kind of give you a point. 4.25 is what they're thinking about for corn, national average price for the coming year. That's not as bad as maybe you were thinking, and hopefully that means you can dial in at 217-244-9455. I'm hoping that we get about 60 folks to dial in this afternoon, less. And I really don't frankly care. I've told Dave this and you, the rest of the folks, anybody who will listen, it's not about the money. Sometimes it's about the service. We hope that it works for you, but we need you to tell us that. So $5 or $10, $20 if you want to pledge at the $120 level. Ooh, baby, fantastic. Otherwise, I need your support. I really do. 217-244-9455. If you're listening online, willag.org. If you're listening late online, don't think we got there. Don't think we got there because we need everybody that can get online. And I'd like to have 60. And that's an important number because it helps us out with our business friends.
Yeah, we do. We have this big business challenge on the line from folks like Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, also the Andersons here in Champaign, Stuart Peterson, Champaign County Branch, AgriGold Seeds, a big supporter of WILL. They're putting up some extra dollars. And Bates Commodities in Normal, Pete Manhart and the folks there, they have all kind of banded together to put an extra $2,250 on the table when we hear from 100 of our listeners who will call in, make that pledge of support, and mention that agriculture is one of the services they really appreciate on this station. And when we when that happens, they'll add that extra $2,250. And as Todd said, it's really your involvement we're looking for right now at any level. And then in these uncertain times, when prices are a little bit uncertain, maybe you find this information more valuable to you and your business. If you find that's the case, call and make that call, or go to online at willpledge.org or willag.org. Do it sometime before the end of the day today. Maybe you can't do it right now. That's all right. Just do it sometime before the day is over with, so that we can count you towards this challenge. And just show your support for this station that invests a lot in this kind of service to you. If you find that valuable, if you use our online services at all, listen to a podcast now and then, maybe get our newsletter once a week and look at that and find that valuable, call 217-244-9455 or willag.org or willpledge.org and make that commitment to your public radio station at whatever level fits into your budget.
Yeah, and be sure that when you call in or when you're online and you just click a button on this one, but that you let them know it's in support of agriculture.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't work. 217-244-9455. It's not about the money at the moment. It's about a stand. And let's go with that. It's about a stand in support of agriculture. I know you're out there, and I know you're listening. I know you're busy. I know you're in the field. And you're working really hard, but take 3 minutes for me. Take 3 minutes for me right now, 217-244-9455. Kind of got to have 60 of you to call. I want to kind of make that kind of stand. I'm hoping that we can get that out of you. Please do it, and thank you so much. Dave and I really appreciate you and that you listen. We hope that what we've done for you really works for you. We think we have. If it's not, give us a call, and we'll try to change that, too. We really do listen to you, our listeners. Again, the number to call, 217-244-9455. If you're listening after the fact, you're on the line, too, even if it's late in the weekend. WillAg.org. Hit the red donate button. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Let's check now the agricultural cash grain markets with Ben Pruse. He's at the Andersons facility there in the northwestern part of Iowa, really near Spencer, north central northwest. Let's talk a little bit about what's happening on the ground first. Have been any planters rolling there? You had not made it that far last week.
Had not. You know, we crossed through the legal planting date, which is the 11th for us out here, and talked with a couple of my producers, and everybody has at least an 80 in. Of the five or six guys that I've talked to, we've got some rain moving in here tomorrow morning. There's an 80% chance of rain, and guys are just hitting the field, hitting the road, and saying, we're just going to get started on it.
Yeah, so if they're hitting the field, hitting the road, working on the planters, they're certainly not, I wouldn't think, moving any corn at this time. Is that right?
Yes. My job has gotten substantially slower here the last 10 days.
Has basis reacted at all?
Yes. You know, we got through all of report season. Now we're up a few cents here today, but we're definitely starting to see basis firm. You know, the end users tell us they're comfortable, the markets did what they did, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe we're not quite as comfortable as we thought. So we've seen here in about the last 5 days, we've seen about a penny a day basis appreciation, and we really think it continues to rally here basically through first half of May. It's we're temporarily bullish on basis.
All right. So how far under are you at this point?
Well, like Everly here, we're posted at 16 under. Most ethanol plants are paying anywhere from short unders to option. You know, I think when we start moving into that short overs region, I think that really stimulates, you know, it's stimulates the commercial movement. Commercials, I mean, we're long corn, farmers are long corn, and commercials are obviously sellers long before farmers are, and it's short overs that I think we see some buying interest, and I think the commercials, including ourselves, will step in.
You know, this week, ag economist Gary Schnicke from the U of I released a look at the RMA payouts for RP crop insurance, and of course it gives you a better idea of who actually had a decent crop and who did not. You're in one of those parts of the world where they did get paid if they had RP. And I'm wondering, that doesn't mean you necessarily had a really bad crop, and we know that you didn't have a great crop, but how much do you have left? Do you feel comfortable through the process? Is there a lot of corn yet to come into the marketplace?
Yeah, a couple different things here. Back to, you know, guys signing up their crop insurance, there's a bit of uncertainty. So we're seeing a few guys up their RP coverages, you know, to that 85% level. They're just unsure. So they say, I'm going to put the most dollars on the farm I can, which has been an interesting play. We didn't have 165 to 190 caught the majority, 95% of our trade area as far as actual bushels. And today we're... Our guess is the farmer's somewhere between 45 and 55% long on the farm and in bushels in town. And they're long, and we at the Andersons commercials are long as well. So the market sure feels saturated with bushels yet to come. Sure doesn't feel like we're going to be fighting for any bushels. It's just that kind of year. And quite honestly, I'm encouraging my guys to just, for now, until the market tells me otherwise, to just accept the facts we have at hand, bite the bullet, sell the corn, and then sell it and defend it is the phrase I've been using with my guys.
On the crop insurance in our part of the world here in East Central Illinois, in fact, in the good part of Illinois, and I think a portion of Indiana as well, we would normally buy 85% RP. Producers would, that is. What would have been the norm in your area up until this year?
A lot of guys, quite honestly, were just buying 85%. A lot of it was function of the price of corn. It was cheap. They wanted the Cadillac crop insurance, and quite frankly, they could afford it. And now, with the uncertainty moving forward, guys, it seems like there's two extremes. Guys are dropping off, you know, which is they're dropping off to about that 75% as far as the cost savings, which we do not recommend and think is a bad choice. Or they're going to that 85% saying, I'm going to guarantee the most dollars I can on the farm.
All right. Hey, thanks so much. Finally, what are your bids for the day?
Yeah, it's 363 cash corn, 923 cash beans.
All right, Ben, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That's Ben Pruse of the Andersons Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on the Closing Market Report each Friday, just one of 21 regular analysts you hear on our programming. And if it makes a big difference to you, please do pledge your financial support at 217-244-9455 or online at willag.org. Hit the big red donate button. Speaking of willag.org, up there already is Commodity Week. It comes up on many of these radio stations over the weekend. On our home one, immediately following this program, our special guest this week is David Hightower of the Hightower Report. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. A really great program. If it makes a difference to you, dial in your support now at 217-244-9455. It's important at willag.org. Two back in 2 minutes with a look at the weather forecast.
It's National Cheeseball Day. Legend has it that the cheeseball came about in 1801 when Elisha Brown Jr. created a 1,235-pound ball of cheese and presented it to Thomas Jefferson at the White House. On this day in agricultural history in 1629, the first horses were imported to the American colonies. Also arriving to the New World were sheep and goats. In 1790, Benjamin Franklin died. He was an American diplomat, publisher, and inventor. Among his inventions were the Franklin stove and bifocal glasses. He also published Poor Richard's Almanac. The publication appeared continuously from 1732 to 1758. The almanac contained a calendar, weather, poems, as well as astronomical and astrological information. The almanac sold as many as 10,000 copies a year. Over his lifetime, Franklin also helped establish a number of institutions that people now take for granted, including a fire company, a library, an insurance company, an academy, and a hospital. And in 1810, Lewis M. Norton of Troy, Pennsylvania, was issued the first U.S. patent for pineapple cheese. And that's this day in agricultural history.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There we post all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between, including Commodity Week. Not long after it airs on our stations, and in the case of Commodity Week, sometimes about 24 hours ahead of time. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at what happened in the world of agriculture. Find it online at willag.org. Now, here's Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, with a look at the weekend weather forecast.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. The statewide average temperature for this week in April was 56 degrees, almost 5 degrees above average. Precipitation for the week was light. Most of the state received less than half an inch of precipitation, which was good news for field work. According to the State Water Survey Network, the 2-inch bare soil temperatures have increased quite a bit from last week and are in the upper 50s and low 60s across the state after all this sunshine and ideal drying conditions. The Climate Prediction Center released their outlook for May and beyond. Cooler and drier conditions are expected across the Great Lakes region for May through July, but that does not include Illinois. We have equal chances of above, below, and near average temperatures and precipitation during this time. The only interesting feature for Illinois and Iowa is an expected area of cooler than average conditions in the July through September time frame. According to the National Weather Service, highs on Saturday will be in the 70s across the state. Overnight lows will be in the 50s, while the highs on Sunday will be in the 60s in the northern half of the state and in the 70s for central and southern Illinois. Temperatures will be a little cooler during the week, with highs ranging from the 50s in the north to the 60s in the south. That temperature pattern will remain through at least Thursday. Substantial rain will move through the state on Saturday evening and Sunday, with amounts ranging from 1/4 inch in the north to 1.5 inches in the south. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, go to Jim Angel for his weekly update of what's been happening in the world of agricultural weather. Speaking of which, we probably have one of the best weather teams in the business. If you check out our website or listen to us on a regular basis, you'll know that at the end of the closing market report, our daily program at 2:32, we bring you a different meteorologist each and every business day of the year. These are the meteorologists that pay great attention to what's happening in the world's growing regions, not only here in the Midwest and across this nation, but in South America, Australia, the Ukraine, Eastern Europe, Europe, and in China. All those growing regions are really important, and we keep track of them right here on willag.org. Check out the Closing Market Report Weather Forecast podcast there at willag.org. That's willag.org.